Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspective. Today is a mini episode, and we are going to be talking about some stuff that's in the news.
Sure are.
Yeah. And it is a holiday week for us. I think it's really weird to have the 4th of July on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We're recording this on a Tuesday. So I don't know about you, but for me, it has been kind of a loopy week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm usually working pretty much every day. So I worked Saturday, didn't work Sunday. So Sunday felt like a Saturday, and then Monday felt like a Sunday, and then today feels like a Friday.
It feels like a Friday
because
to me,
tomorrow's going to be like a Saturday. It's really bizarre.
It's completely thrown me off. It feels like a vacation episode or something. Like, I don't know. It feels very weird, even though I worked all day today. But that is neither here nor there.
Any hoozles, what do you want to start with?
Okay. Well, I think, and you can stop me if you have something sadder, since we always start with the worst.
Okay. What's your worst?
I am going to talk about the shooting that happened on June 28th. So, this is America, and yep. Happy Independence Day. There was another shooting last week.
Yep.
On June 28th, there was a shooting in the, and I realize that this is old news, really, to a lot of people in the United States, but I think we need to talk about it anyway.
Yeah.
Because it happened, I think, the day our last episode went up.
It did, because doesn't it always happen?
It always happens.
Big news happens on Thursdays, apparently.
Yeah. So the Capital Gazette newsroom in Annapolis, Maryland, there was a shooting there where five people were killed. And I really want to talk about this because I think it's important to talk about. I'm not going to say the shooter's name. I'm not going to go into that. But there's so much surrounding this shooting that has happened in time since the shooting happened that mm-hmm. I think it's worth discussing. So
okay.
Let's backtrack.
Okay.
This whole thing started with this shooter. He stalked a girl that he liked. He was kind of like a weirdo. And he was like, 5 years ago. And he was like, I'm going to talk to this girl and be like, hey, you were the only one who was nice to me in high school on Facebook. He connected with her on Facebook. And
how many times have we heard basically this story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but hold on.
Holding on, but I'm already, just, my eyes are just rolling already.
Yeah, of course. He's a fucking creep, like all of these shooters are.
Who feel entitled to the women
yes,
that they are, find attractive.
He's a fucking entitled creep. You will see recurring themes in all of his behavior as we talk about this dude.
Good.
So, he reached out to her on Facebook, was like, you were the only one who was nice to me in high school, and she, like I would have done, like you probably would have done, was just like, oh, you know, I'm glad you're doing well now, or whatever.
Yeah,
just
course.
Like a normal person who is kind.
Yeah,
and he took that as like, I'm gonna stalk the fuck out of you now, and started taking pictures of her outside of her work and doing all this stuff. So he...
Jesus Christ.
Not he, sorry. So she charged him with harassment and stalking,
mm-hmm.
and the paper, because this is a small area, they wrote about that. So
mm-hmm.
the Capital Gazette, 5 years ago, wrote about his stalking behavior. And so then he decides he's going to sue the paper for defamation and represents himself in court, and the judge has to be the one who's like, that's not how defamation works.
I'm sorry, but if you ever represent yourself in court, that just makes you look so bad.
You look so dumb. It is not a good look.
It's not a good look. It's not cute, guys.
It's just not smart, either.
Yep.
I mean, and also, like, that is not how defamation works.
No.
Like, the judge basically was like, you can't sue someone for defamation for saying things that are true about you.
Right.
Because he wasn't saying that he didn't do these things.
He was mad that the paper
wrote about it. Right. So, obviously, he loses that case.
Yep.
And then 5 years later, he disappears off the, you know, he goes off the radar. And then 5 years later, he returns to this paper and guns people down. And that was kind of the story that we had heard and,
mm-hmm.
like, was kind of spread around. But, however, and this will be a huge surprise to you, I'm absolutely sure.
Are you being sarcastic?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought.
He is a...
Incel?
Trump supporter.
Oh, okay.
Close enough.
Yeah. I mean, same thing, right?
And he had once threatened the paper over their coverage of Trump, tweeting...
Oh, yeah, I saw that part.
Yeah, he tweeted that things could end badly for them after they called Trump unqualified.
Yep.
So you have this. You have a guy who obviously is unstable and entitled, as evidenced in his stalking behavior, a Trump supporter who has already threatened the paper. So he has had two interactions with this paper. And then also something that happened early last week was Milo Yiannopoulos, who, do you know who that is?
No.
He is a right-wing, like, he is a right-wing, alt-right kind of dude. I think he wrote for Breitbart for a while. Okay. He came into hot fire or under fire because he said something about, like, how it should be legal for, like, gay boys to be with, because he's gay, gay boys should be allowed to be with, like, adult men. And, like, so people were like, you're a pedophile. And so he went away for a minute, and now he's back. And he said last week that he called for gunning journalists down on site. And you pair this...
Wait, who called for that?
Milo.
Called for
gunning down journalists on site. And then later this week was the shooting at the Gazette.
So this guy probably saw it and was like...
Could have.
I agree with you.
Could have. I mean, and also, I mean, you've got Trump, who is constantly calling for violence against journalists, has constantly said things like that against journalists.
Just, it's one of those things because even though he did have a history of... like, calling out this paper, you wouldn't automatically assume that this person harassing you is going to turn into violence.
Of course not. Because
I think that there's so many people on the internet that, like, go nuts over those certain institutions and businesses because they're saying things that they don't like.
Of course.
So they're probably like, this annoying guy, like, get him off our back.
They probably get that all the time. I mean, I think...
Exactly. So it's like, that can't even be seen as a red flag, or do you need to take everything so seriously nowadays?
You can't.
That everything is a red flag.
I don't think you can. I mean, honestly...
I mean, it would take up so much time.
Because honestly, like, let's put this in perspective of, like, you and I. If we took everything that everyone said on our Facebook or our Instagram, like, as a real, actual threat, we would never sleep again.
It's true. Well, I remember when I thought we were hacked, and we thought that that guy who was like,
because a guy threatened to hack us, and then,
like,
we
no.
had problems with our social media. Yeah, so, I mean, and by the way, I took a screenshot of the guy, that guy's page, because his page says incel on it. I blocked him, but anyway. And I reported his profile, but it doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, you can't, you probably get these threats all the time. You get tweets at you all the time saying, you know, take this story down, do this.
Yeah, if you took everything seriously, you would...
You wouldn't get anything done.
You wouldn't get anything done. That would be your whole life.
So,
you wouldn't be able to do anything for them to get mad about.
The next step in this fucked up story is that then Hannity, Sean Hannity, indicated that he thought that Maxine Waters could be to blame for this, saying, I've been saying for days that something horrible was going to happen because of the rhetoric. Really, Maxine? You want people to create, call your friends, get in their faces? Because Maxine Waters advocated for public protests, and she said, call your friends, get in their faces, get out there. And so Sean Hannity is just like, well, this is what happens when you get in people's faces.
This isn't a protest.
No, and like, and... It's not, you can't blame, if you get in someone's face, and you don't touch them, but you get in their face, and you're outspoken about your beliefs, and they stab you, it's not your fault for getting in their face. It's their fault for stabbing you.
For stabbing you.
And he also pinned it on Obama, saying, Obama
said... Isn't that a little 2009?
I know. Thanks, Obama. Obama said that, too. Get in their faces. Call them out. Call your friends. Get protesters. Follow them into restaurants and shopping malls. And whatever else she said. And somehow he's pinning this connection when Trump has literally advocated for violence against journalists. It's unbelievable. And
mental
also...
gymnastics.
Yeah. And also, Maxine Waters has had to cancel two events because of death threats. The irony. Like, you're saying that her rhetoric is causing this shooting whenever what you've said about her is causing her to cancel events because of death threats.
Hold my beer!
I know! Like... And then, additionally, this is the last thing I'll say about this. I just find this story, the way it's unfolding as far as, like, the cultural wars between the right and the left to be so fascinating because, in addition, one of the people who were working at the Gazette, who was a coworker of the people who just got killed and had to be in an open shooter situation, which is horrifying, so a traumatized person, right? He said to a news outlet, he said, he tweeted, so thanks for your thoughts and prayers, but I couldn't give a fuck if nothing else is coming.
Yes.
And Marco Rubio in response, Marco Rubio, who, by the way, we all remember him from Parkland.
Yeah.
Right? Marco Rubio tweeted in response, Sign of our times, the F word is now routinely used in news stories, tweets, etc. It's not even F asterisk anymore. Who made that decision? That's what you're gonna focus on? The fact that this man just saw his coworkers get mowed down and he used the word fuck is the problem that you have with this situation? Like, not that he had to live through a traumatic situation where nothing is being done?
Keegan, you know what's wrong?
Everything?
Prayer needs to be back in school.
We
just need to pray a little more.
Madigan!
Okay, have you watched the show, Sinner?
I haven't yet, but I want to. Oh, Jessica Biel?
Jessica Biel.
I
watched 4 episodes today.
Where?
On Netflix. It's on Netflix.
Oh, I'm going to watch
it. Start watching it because you will get into it.
Oh, so I know I will.
There's like this whole, I'm not going to like give any spoilers, but I mean, the show is called Sinner. She comes from a super Catholic background where it's like, your sister's sick because you did because you ate chocolate and like,
guilt
you
need to pray
on it. And like, yeah. So, I mean, that's just like fresh in my mind, but it's also like a narrative that's used a lot is that there's a lack of prayer. And it's so common for them to point out the F word rather than point out the actual thing that's going on, as well as it's common to point out the fact that there's a lack of prayer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are going to be looking for other things to call upon rather than focus on the actual issue.
Right. I mean, and that's what I was going to say is, like, having grown up in a somewhat evangelical background, I can say that this is often a distraction technique to be like, well, we don't need to listen to anything that they say if they use bad language. Like, their brain turns off at the F word.
Because they're going to point to that. But the thing is that, you know, people, I mean, I'd love to talk about swearing just in general sometime on this podcast.
We will.
Because I feel like a lot of people see it as like just as a bad word. But really, there are times I feel like for me where it's like, what else can you say?
Nothing else is suitable.
Yeah, it's like that is something that I like when I hear someone curse, even though I curse all the time, there is a certain weight to it, especially if somebody like him who's in a lot of pain is saying this fucking thing. It's not this thing.
When
it's
he's
this
angry.
Fucking thing. Yes, and it shows the anger and the hurt, and like it better explains it.
Right. Well, there's actually a psychological reason behind swearing, and I do have on our like list of episodes that I want to do a women who swear episode.
Yeah.
But it could just be people who swear because there is a really good Stuff You Should Know episode about swearing,
mm-hmm.
and there is a psychological reason it releases something in your brain. The plosives, they're all
I've heard
curse words.
That, like if you hurt yourself,
yeah,
I do that all the time.
Yeah,
I hit my elbow. Where was I today that I hit my elbow? I was like, oh, fuck, and it's like that just.
Yeah, I can control. I can control swearing in front of my because I don't swear in front of my like parents or grandparents or whatever, and I can control it except. Like, one time I was on the phone with my mom, and I did that. I, like, hit my elbow or something, and I was like, shit. Because it's just, like, there is something, it's an automatic kind of response. And if you don't say shit, you say, if you don't curse, you still say something that's,
oh,
like,
oh, shoot.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Darn.
Because it's a response. And as someone who curses all the time, I realize that that's not the case for me all the time. It's just the way that I talk.
Right.
But I just think to point to that is just grasping for straws on Marco Rubio's,
yes.
You know.
But that's what they have to do.
Yeah.
That's what has to be done.
So we'll move on from this because we've been talking about it for a while.
Okay. So my thing that I want to talk about, which might be something that's on your list as well, is the Thailand soccer team who was trapped in the caves.
No. Oh, I heard about this.
Okay. So I've basically like recruited Chris to be my what's in the news researcher.
Does he just send you things?
I just asked him today in the car because I was like, fuck, I have to record today.
No, this is amazing.
I was like, I don't know what to do. And he was like, oh, well, you should talk about the soccer team in the caves. And he thought that they were rescued. So as I was reading it,
they
I was
were.
Like letting him
oh, no,
they
they're,
were not.
They're, they they've been found. Yeah.
So there are 12 boys between the ages of 11 and 16 and their soccer coach. They have been found alive after disappearing in a flooded cave 10 days before. So they were lost on June 23rd. They were going to kind of like explore this like cave system.
Don't do it.
Don't do it, guys. But the cave system is, I'm going to say this wrong and I apologize. It's called the Tom Luang Nang Nang?
In Thailand?
Nang Nang, yes.
I don't know.
Tom Luang Nang Nang cave system.
If you're from Thailand, can you please send us an email with that phonetically spelled?
I bet I could just Google it.
I mean, you could, but wouldn't it be more fun to get it from a listener?
Okay.
Let us know. If you're from Thailand, please email us, because now I want
to
know.
I'm not seeing any way to... Okay, so I apologize for saying it wrong, but that's not the whole point of the story. So...
Can we just say real fast before you move on with this story that, like, being trapped underwater or being trapped in a cave...
Well, this is, like, surrounded by water, too.
It is my nightmare. Yeah. Like, if you've ever seen the movie Descent... That is my nightmare. It's like, I will never go on an undercave diving expedition.
No, because
I'm just like, my fear is getting lost, getting trapped, and not being able to get out. And it just seems like the most horrifying situation.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I'm trying to remember the name of this movie, and if you guys know it, let me know. Maybe I'll think of it later. But there was a movie that I watched with my parents when I was little where, like, this husband and wife, and they're, like, newborn baby.
What?
They, like, spin off the road or something happens, and then they're, like, trapped in snow, and they're, like...
Also bad!
Stuck. Oh, it's horrible. Like, I just had these weird
claustrophobia fears are the worst.
Okay, and then just listening to My Favorite Murder, and they talk about sinkholes a lot.
Oh, yeah, you're afraid of sinkholes.
I have such a fear of sinkholes, because it's, like, you're there 1 second, and then you're fucking gone. Ugh, guys, it's really...
All of it. Being trapped anywhere...
It's intense.
In a small space.
Uh-uh.
No, thank
Not
you.
Not a fan. Oh, we're in a being, tiny closet.
Being buried alive? Worst. The worst. Okay, anyway.
Okay.
We're talking about all of our fears. We're getting...
But you can imagine how these kids
horrifying
feel. And they were gone for 10 days and no one knew where they were.
It's an insanely long period of time.
Wait, okay, so if no one knew where they were, they must not have known which caves they were going to.
Well, here's what I've heard. I've heard that with these, because people disappear in these caves like all the time, which is again, why are you taking children on a field trip?
This is the thing. They were about 300 to 400 yards behind a section of cave that was on higher ground. So maybe
But that's what I mean is like, I don't think you should be taking kids on these kinds of expeditions, period, because from what I understand, and I could be totally wrong about this, but from what I understand is that these caves connect to different tunnels, and it happens semi-frequently that people will get lost in another section, or, like, water will come gushing in and push you into another section, and then no one knows where you are, because you've been transported somewhere else.
Speaking of adults taking kids where they shouldn't be, real quick sidebar, and maybe I'll put this at the end. Did I ever tell you the story about how my Spanish teacher in fifth grade tried to take us all to Cuba?
No!
Yes, she was like, I'm gonna take you all to Cuba, and...
Why Cuba when you could go to Mexico? It's right there.
I don't know, Keegan. I think this woman was nuts. So I go home, and I'm like, Mom, Miss So-and-so is gonna take us to Cuba. And she's like, no, she's not. And I was like, well, Kelsey said her mom is gonna allow her to do it. And my mom's like, I doubt it.
My mom would probably let me do that.
So, like, she calls my friend's mom, and, like, they're all talking to each other, and they're like, no, I'm not letting them. But in my mind, I'm like, my mom sucks, because I'm gonna be the one person not able to go on this trip. So I get to school the next day, and everyone's like, oh, my mom wouldn't let me either. My mom wouldn't let me. And she's, like, fired. She's gone, like, within a day.
Well, that's sketchy as hell.
There was something going on, because to take a group of 10-year-olds, 10 and 11-year-olds to Cuba?
And
really?
Out of the blue, like, you just decided that? Like,
yeah, but we were talking about Cuban countries, I think, because we were in Spanish class. Like, I think it was brought up, and she was
still
maybe
find
talking
it strange.
About it. Maybe she had taken a vacation there. I don't remember. It's super sketchy.
Nothing against Cuba at all.
No,
I'm just saying that this situation
is
strange.
But at that time, it was scary, especially to go to Cuba. To be taking a group of 10 and 11-year-olds.
We had an embargo.
No, yes.
Yeah.
No, don't do that. So, I'm sorry. I got off track.
No, but I'm
but
with
it's
you.
About adults taking you into places that are not
that
safe.
They shouldn't. Anyway.
They should have done that. So,
these kids are lost.
They're lost. So, rescue teams are looking for alternative entrances and attempting to drain water from the cave before moving the group. It could take weeks, and the group will also be taught, like, how to dive in the meantime. Which I would assume is very hard to do just through, like, communication. And it must suck to, like, be their family where they're so close, but they're so far.
And you don't know exactly where.
Exactly. And they're saying that food will be sent that should last them 4 months. But the thing is that even sending the food could be incredibly dangerous.
Right. Because I know that they found them.
Yeah.
Like, in my... I watched a thing about this, or I saw something about this online, and they found them, but because of where they are, they're very difficult to get to.
They can hear them. There's a boy that says, oh, they want to take a picture. Tell them we're hungry. I haven't had anything to eat. They were able to do kind of like an informal medical evaluation, and they do like green zone, yellow zone, red zone. And all of them are in, like, the green zone. So fairly, maybe some, like, minor injuries.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. It said some may be more in the yellow zone, but they said overall, like, they're they're stable. So like we were saying, it's thought that rising waters trapped the group. So yeah, basically the waters came up and flooded them in there.
Yeah, they went one place and they thought they were going to be in that one place. Yep. And then water came
probably
and swept them.
Probably went a little far, you know, something happened. American cave rescuer Anmar Mirza says trying to take non-divers through a cave is one of the most dangerous situations as possible.
Why would you do it when they're like 10 to 16? Why?
Yeah, and but you know what? Now they have to learn. And this mom is like, I'm going to make my son his favorite meal, like his favorite like Thai fried omelet when he gets out, and like
God, my
they're
heart.
Feeling a bit of hope because they were found.
Yeah, and they're okay.
But now it's gonna start settling in. That's like, oh my God, are they gonna be able to get out?
I have faith they're gonna be able to get them out.
I have faith too, and I mean, we are so resilient. Humans are so smart, so resilient.
And
when
children.
You are in survival mode, you will do what you can do to get out. And so I have faith, but I wanted to bring it up. Even though it is kind of a downer. So it's in
no, but it's hopeful.
All
to
of
me,
our
that's,
attention.
To me, that's hopeful. Like, to me, that's so hopeful. Like,
I know, but they're saying it could take months. They need to get food to these kids.
It could,
you know?
But at the same time, they know where they are. They didn't a moment ago. Yep. They're all still alive.
Yep.
When in reality, like, they could have been dead by now.
Yeah,
like,
oh, very, very
if they'd
well.
Been trapped in a saltwater cave, like, not freshwater, like, who knows, you know?
Hi, I'm April.
And I'm Steph.
And we're from the Thurs podcast. Do you like pop culture news, reviews, and discussion?
Are you deeply invested in Armie Hammer and Timothée Chalamet's friendship?
Do you constantly find yourself debating which Hollywood Chris is best?
Have you lost sleep over the horror that is Ben Affleck's back tattoo?
Then we're the podcast for you!
Every few weeks, we get together to talk about what we're enjoying or what we're looking forward to in the world of TV, film, music, and more.
You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher by searching for The Thirst Podcast. And you can also find us over on Twitter, at The Thirst, or on Instagram, at The Thirst Pod.
Listen to an episode and let us know what you think.
Bye! Bye.
Okay, so the next thing that I have is Guy Pearce implies that he was harassed by Kevin Spacey while working on LA Confidential.
Remind me what Guy Pearce looks like.
He looks like this. Okay, he was in, like, I know, he's cute. He's cute.
Kind of a dilf.
Okay, so in a forthcoming interview with the Australian, with an Australian talk show host, Guy Pearce, who was in, he was in, like, Memento is a big one that he was in. Let me see, what was he in kind of recently? I think he was in The King's Speech. Yeah, he was, like, the brother of Colin Firth in The King's Speech.
That's a great movie.
It is a great movie. So he was in L.A. Confidential in 1992, and this is what he had to say. So it's kind of interesting. I imagine it must be difficult or just weird for actors to be asked about situations like this far. 1992, okay? Like, I'm a wee baby at this point.
Right.
So
wait, what year is this, 92?
Yeah.
This year I was born.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, what a strange thing, like, as an established actor to be asked about this stuff now.
Yeah.
And this is what he said. He said, tough one to talk about at the moment. Amazing actor. Incredible actor. Slightly difficult time with Kevin, yeah. He's a handsy guy. Thankfully, I was 29 and not 14. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, so without actually saying, like, he did shit to me, he's saying, like, it was weird, and he definitely was handsy. Which,
well, and it seems like he may have even seen, or, I mean, he knows about that he likes young boys.
Well, I think that's
he
what
could
he's
have even. You
I
know,
don't know how many young boys were on LA Confidential.
Right, but he may have been aware.
Well, I mean, I think he's aware now because of the accusations. Because 15 men have now publicly accused Kevin Spacey of sexual misconduct.
Dude, fuck you, Kevin Spacey.
I mean, and it upsets me greatly. I hate that we are watching, as an actor, like, I hate that we are, like, seeing our heroes die. But
I mean, he was never, like, you know,
I loved
a great actor,
him.
But I'm just, but also it's like, I would always rather know the truth.
I know
you would too, but it's just, it's so.
But it sucks.
It sucks. Like, you know, I know Judy Garland wasn't perfect, but if someone were to come up to me and be like, she was a murderer, rapist, I'd be like, no, don't tell me.
I know.
I don't need to know.
It's horrible because, I mean, I know a few years ago, or like when I was in film school, like, Kevin Spacey was definitely an actor I looked up to. I loved his work. I thought he was an incredible actor. And he is. You can't take that away from him. He is an incredible actor.
But his legacy is now forever tainted.
Right. And now every time I want to watch like a movie with Kevin, every time I want to watch Usual Suspects,
it's
I'm like,
can I watch this?
I feel shitty about it. And it's like, that sucks. And I feel like it's happening over and over again with people.
But I'm glad he did say what he said.
I mean, he answered it truthfully, and I think with as much tact as you can in a situation like that.
Yeah. Anything else on that?
No, that's it. I just wanted to share it.
I have something fun.
Okay, cool.
Do you have something fun?
It's not really fun. It's weird.
Share your weird thing, then I'll share my fun
thing. Okay, we'll end with the fun thing. So, Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
Has just been cast to play a transgender man.
No.
In a movie called Rub and Tug.
Nope. Nope, 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 nope. ScarJo, end it.
Well,
Here's
my issue with her. This is the second time she will have faced controversy. The first time.
Did she play an Asian woman recently?
Yes. In Ghost in the Shell, she received backlash for Yellowface for that. And she paired up with the same director from Ghost in the Shell to do this.
No. Okay, the name of the movie is horrifying. I need to know the background on the name of that movie. Second of all, there are so many talented trans men. Mm-hmm. Off the top of my head, Elliot... Oh, God, what is his name? I have to look it up because he's amazing. He was on The Fosters. He was on Shameless. Elliot Fletcher.
There are
so many amazingly talented trans people out there that I just don't understand.
And what it says to me is that she's not learning, she doesn't care.
She has no respect.
She does not
for
care.
For any other communities at all. I mean, at least the people who have made those mistakes in the past have come out and at least said something and learned from their experiences. But in this social climate, in this day and age, for you to knowingly take a project like that, I'm sorry, you are being incredibly stupid.
Yeah, there was a guy.
And insensitive.
There was a guy recently who got cast in a role. He was a white guy. Gosh, he's so cute. I'm gonna have to find his picture and we can like put it up in the notes or whatever. But he got cast in a movie and then he realized that the original incarnation of that character in like the graphic novel or whatever it was an Asian person and he bowed out of that role.
That is gonna make you more famous in the long run.
And it did.
Because,
like, for the time being, it did.
Yes, but it's one of those things where it's like, somebody is going to have so much respect for you and get you a better role. Because that is a lasting thing. That's why, I know this is kind of off topic, but, like, for me, the difference between networking and relationships.
Right.
Like, actually being friends and being a loved one of somebody.
And maintaining that.
Is more valuable than having a business connection.
Yeah.
And that's what I see with this, is that he's making a relationship with his business, with his job, by respecting it.
Right, and he's using...
Rather than just using these business tactics to get ahead.
Right, and it's his... He has his integrity intact.
Yes.
And you can tell also, this is what really upset me with Johansson, because she put out a statement through her representative, and she said... Tell them they can be directed to Jeffrey Tambor, Jared Leto, and Felicity Huffman's reps for comment. Because those three actors have played trans characters before. And it bugs me so much because I'm like, you're saying because they did it, you're okay with doing it?
And the other thing is that the knowledge that we have... Okay, Jared Leto...
In 10 years, it spans so much.
Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club, that was a couple of years ago.
Right.
But that's pre-Caitlyn Jenner.
Right.
That's when a lot of our trans knowledge came kind of
and pre-Laverne Cox. Yeah.
Yes. This is all, or like, maybe even like, you know,
around the same time.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where you have to understand, we don't think it's okay that they did those roles, looking back, seeing how transphobic it is. But at the same time, the knowledge in the industry and in the world was not there that we have now.
And since you've been called out on this sort of thing before, and it feels incredibly tone deaf.
And to have no actual comment and just to say, oh, ask that. No.
Like if
that,
they did it, then I should get a pass.
That. Yeah. I'm sorry. I keep saying people are canceled. Scarlett Johansson, you're canceled.
I've lost so much respect for her. You know what?
I mean, she was never, like, an actress that I was, like, a
you.
Big fan of.
Thank you. We talk about...
I don't think she's that good.
Well, I think she's fine, but, like...
I don't think she's anything exceptional.
I don't think she's anything exceptional.
She always sounds like Scarlett Johansson.
Not to plug, but kind of to plug, not the episode that just came out today, but next week's episode of My Worst Date, we talk about Scarlett Johansson and how I feel like she's overrated. Like, I'm like, I don't understand.
She's got a great voice. Like, I feel like when she does voice stuff, it's great. Fine. But she's always...
It's fine.
She's always Scarlett Johansson. There's nothing about her, to me, I feel like that makes her go above and beyond in any sort of way. And the fact that she is clinging to these roles that are not meant for her is just making it so much worse.
And it makes me feel like she's in it for the paycheck. Like, because otherwise, why would you do this? You know you're going to get bad press.
Yes.
So you don't care.
And because you're getting bad press, I'm sorry, but a lot of people are not going to see your movie. Bad press is good press is not flying as much anymore.
Well, I won't see it for sure.
Okay, good. Okay, so let's move on to one happy, funny, wonderful
thing. Yay! Let's do it.
This was on BuzzFeed, and this is the title. This bear just took a dip in a jacuzzi, sipped a margarita, then took a 2-hour nap.
Yes, honey. That's my ideal weekend.
Yes, honey. Oh, I've been watching so much Queer Eye. Honey, cutie. All right. So this cute little large bear looks like he has a flower behind his ear, and he's just like chilling in the jacuzzi, like living life. He's like playing with a thermometer and like eating the plants, and like he's just chilling. So I watched that video first before I like read the rest of the article. And
so he's basically like at a tiki lounge. He's got a flower in, he's sipping a margarita.
I mean, it could be something else, but it looks like he's got a red flower.
I'll take flower.
I don't know what it is.
I'll go with flower. I like that.
He's in the yard of a California resident named Mark Huff. And this guy is quoted to say, "My wife came home from work and requested a margarita. So we made a couple margaritas and went out to the pool to relax in the sun. Then I heard some crackling of branches coming from my neighbor's side of the property." He, like, sees the bear and, like, yells to his wife to grab the dogs, thank God. And once, Yeah, and once he saw the bear, they, like, rushed back to the house. And then, like, as a little bit of time passed, he was kind of like, okay, what's going on? He said he was within, like, 10 feet of this bear, and he's recording it, like, there's videos, and this bear is just living its best life. Oh. So, for a while, he's, like, chilling in the jacuzzi, and this guy, Mark Huff, describes him as being playful and kind of cute, even though he's huge. And so then, the bear saunters over to the margarita. So the wife, because she has her priorities straight, grabs her margarita.
Hell yes!
And the dogs, and runs back in. And
like, you're on your own.
Like I need my margarita for what's about to go down. So, but the husband leaves his. So, like, the bear is so funny. Walks over to this table and just, like, knocks it over, and then starts laughing it up.
Oh, cute!
He's like, this is good. And then the bear is like a little tipsy and he's like sauntering around the backyard and then like finds a tree and like climbs up the tree and takes a 2-hour nap.
I love it. So cute. Living my best life.
Right? Exactly. This bear is. He's living the fucking dream. And so the guy is like, looking back, I really shouldn't have been as close to the bear as I was, but he was like really interested in what was going on. And like, yeah, he just like had his own little day.
Listen, I believe with my whole heart and soul that I am going to die petting something that I shouldn't. Like, because I just think that all animals are so cute. I mean, I love, except for, I saw a hairless raccoon recently.
Ooh.
Let me show you, because it's appalling.
You know what I saw? I went to the zoo with T this week, and I saw a Tasmanian devil, and they were so fucking cute.
They're so cute.
I want to cuddle one so bad. They're like fat dogs
I love
mixed
it.
With pigs.
So cute. Are you appalled by this picture of the hairless raccoon?
Oh, your friend who hates raccoons is going to be so mad at you for mentioning it.
I talked about this. I was at lunch with her yesterday with my other friend, Amy, and we talked about this. It's why I have it saved. And she was across the table, and she's like, do not show that to me. Like, she did not want to see it. And I'm like, I barely wanted to see it, and I like raccoons.
Oh, my God. That's anything hairless that's supposed to have hairless.
Yeah, very creepy. Very creepy.
Oh, boy. Well, so I just wanted to share that because that's what summer's all about, you know? Taking a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
Sipping on some
and
margaritas.
It's really feeling like summer now that it's July. I'm like,
it's the 4th of July.
Yes. This is when summer hits you hard, and I'm digging it.
And the 4th of July is when, so for anyone who knows me, they know that my birthday is the most important day of the year for me.
I love my birthday, too. Same.
It's all about me. I don't care what I do, but you need to give me all my attention.
Attention, attention, attention.
My birthday is on Monday, and so the 4th of July for me is like when I start feeling that like birthday like
vibes.
Yes. And so y'all better not forget my birthday. on Monday.
So send Madigan all of, like, this, we will have an episode coming out on Monday.
That's true.
So definitely send Madigan all of your, like, happy birthday texts and emails. Not texts, because you don't have her phone number.
No, but I'm not going to give you my, I love you guys, but I'm not giving you my phone
number. We are not doing that. Should we read a couple Sister Solidarity stories?
Oh my gosh, yes, I totally forgot.
We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, we do that. Guys, we haven't had any new ones in a while, so please, please send us some more. So we are going to read Manessa's third and final, and I just want to let you guys know that this is the only Sister Solidarity story that we have right now in our emails, so we need you guys to help us out and send us some stories. Even if you've sent them to us before, Manessa has sent us stories before, and we will always continue to read hers. Don't feel like it's like a one-time thing that we'll pick yours. Like, we don't get enough.
And in fairness, we haven't asked for them in a while, so...
We mentioned it briefly, but please, 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 please send in your Sister Solidarity stories. We will definitely read them next episode if you send them to us this week. We really do need them. It would be a really big help.
Yes.
So, on to Vanessa's story.
Okay. So, it says, does it count as sisterhood if it was a man?
Yes.
I was traveling with my son. He was 1.5 at the time, so let me put this in your head. Trying to get from car to gate was insane in trying to hold child strapped to me, drag bag, car seat, stroller, and alone. Shout out to all single parents. Holy shit. Anyway, we get things checked in, go through security, and arrive at the gate to find out the flight was delayed 3 hours.
Nope.
Not to mention that we were going to be on a 6-hour flight and now we would arrive very late in the evening on the East Coast where we were traveling. But what can you do? So my son Joey and I found some stairs, we walked, we had snacks, we washed our hands, we rode the elevator, and on the plane we opened and closed the window shade 5,000 times.
I feel you.
As you do with a 1.5-year-old.
I feel you, Joey. I do the same thing.
We went to the bathroom, danced in our seat. I was exhausted and spent. By the time we arrived and were waiting for our luggage at the baggage claim, a man came over to me and said, "Watching you today has been a treat. There is a special place for angels like you. You never lost your cool, and your son has so much energy. You are doing wonderful work." Well, after a day like that, I shed a few tears and thanked him for sharing that with me. It not only made my day, but I can draw on that when it is hard to have patience when I am struggling. That message of encouragement has stayed with me, and if you see something like that, please share it. The impact is huge.
We have gotten so many messages from Vanessa where people compliment her parenting.
She's an amazing mom.
Can she adopt me? Like, I need a mom in California. You sound like the most A-plus mom ever. And first of all, yes, a Sister Solidarity story can most definitely involve men. If a man is doing something that is particularly feminist or pro-woman or pro-parent in this instance.
Or just something that you really needed. Like, because I can totally see that situation and me being in that situation. By the way, I definitely would have lost my cool. I'm not that calm, cool, and collected. I can totally see just needing that, like, yeah, in that moment, needing someone to give you, like, a pick-me-up.
And to me, I see that man as being someone who is in touch with himself enough to be able to know to say something to her and to point it out. And, like, that's a very, like, with-it guy.
Agreed.
A very thoughtful, empathetic man. So I applaud him greatly, whoever he is.
Yeah, thank you. And again, I think we've said this before, but it's something that I try to adhere to in my personal life.
If you see it, say something.
If you see it, say something. If someone, and it doesn't even have to be that extreme of, like, you've watched someone potentially having a bad day and dealing with it and watching it develop over several hours.
Yeah.
But even if you just see someone whose hair looks nice today,
yeah, tell them that their hair looks nice. I like your shirt.
Yeah, like, let people know. Like, if you think that they look cute, or you think that, you know, whatever it is, just let them know.
Yeah.
Not in a creepy way. If you're a dude, just know that there are levels to this.
Oh, God.
But
I have such a creepy airport dude story that I won't tell right now. I'll tell another time.
Yeah, let's end on a
lot of tangents.
Well, end on a high note, but
yeah,
I guarantee you we will eventually have an episode of, like, men making you feel uncomfortable in public stories, because I had one today. So
good.
Great.
Wonderful. Can't wait to hear it off of the recording. So you guys, one more reminder to send your sister solidarity stories. If you want to keep sending us your coming out stories, you're bummed that you missed the opportunity. We totally still want to hear them and we still want to share them.
For sure.
We don't ever want to let our LGBTQIA, I think I'm using that right?
Yes, plus.
Plus friends down. We want to make sure that you guys are always visible, not just during Pride Month, or if you just have a story to share or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, listen, our inbox and our DMs are open for anything. I think we got a really sweet one today that I need to respond to in our DMs.
I haven't seen that. You gotta let me know, girl.
Sorry, I was at work today.
Yeah,
I was
whatever.
Distracted.
Yeah, whatever.
You were off. You should find these things.
You got it before me. My God. Okay.
But so if you want to send us anything, if you just want to like say hi or chat or you need a friend, we're here for that.
Always.
And happy to, you know, be that friend for you.
Always. I want to remind you guys that we are going to be performing our first live show on July 14th. Our dear, dear friend Ariel, whose birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday, girl. She is starting her own business called The Swallow's Flight. It's going to be a tea and bookshop. So if you are in the Los Angeles area, go to the link in our bio and follow her on Instagram. She's got the cutest aesthetic I've ever seen in my life. Her store is going to be adorable. And we are going to do like a 30-minute kind of episode about our favorite literary feminists.
Yeah, so if that's something that you're interested in, we are going to try and record that, but I mean...
It may happen, it may not. So
yeah,
we're gonna,
so
we're
if you live
best.
In the LA area and that's something you're interested in seeing or hearing, please come see us live. We would be super happy to have you there and to have the support because I know I'm going to be nervous. I'm always nervous when it comes to things like this.
Yeah.
And please, it really helps us a ton when you rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. It's super helpful for us.
It's incredibly helpful, and not to mention, it makes our day.
Yeah. Oh, God. I love reading positive reviews. So if you haven't left a positive review, and you like me even a teensy tiny bit... Please.
Even if you hate Madigan and love Keegan.
Even if you just love me, just focus. Eyes
just
up here.
All on Keegan.
Eyes over here.
All on Keegan. You're like, Madigan fucking sucks.
Or vice versa.
But Keegan fucking rocks. Still give her a 5-star review.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
If you like either one of us, even a modicum, please.
I like that word.
Please rate us and rate based on the person that you like, not the person you don't like. That's very important.
That's very true. Yeah. Don't. I mean, we take constructive criticism, but
But here's the deal. The deal.
Not during a rate.
Yeah, constructive criticism, email that.
Yeah.
If you're going to review us, give us 5 stars, please.
Love it. Love it. Okay. So, listen to us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, Apple Podcasts.
Stitcher.
Google Play.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Anywhere fucking else. Send us your news stories that you want us to hear talk about because I don't want to do all this work. Like, help me a little bit.
I'm tired,
guys.
Listen.
My ciders are kicking in. I'm getting a little frisky here.
I drank my whole drink, so goodbye.
Bye. Okay. So, you guys, I think that's everything that we had to tell you. So, I guess with that, we encourage you to
rage on.
Oh. Bye.